This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast, recording to you, recording for you live from the garage, the first in-person podcast that I've done in about a year and a half. Jeannie Colwin is here.
How you doing? Oh, I'm great. So happy to be here. Thanks.
So as the world would have it, and hopefully the audio sounds okay on this. So Jeannie and I were actually scheduled to record the week of the pandemic, or the declaration of the pandemic. And that got pushed off and delayed. And here you are. You're in the garage.
Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting. It's just like it looks like online, actually.
So if you don't know, if you're not familiar with Jeannie's work, I keep laughing because the Amazon guy just keeps finding more stuff to deliver. And he's going to the front door. So we're in the garage with the garage doors open. But Jeannie does breath work, primarily what you do online, right?
Yeah, I do breathwork classes online, and it's international now, and I was doing them in person, obviously, and doing them for corporations and small classes and wellness centers and all that kind of stuff. So now it's online.
And what part of the, so even though it's online, though, what part of the world are you actually, like, where do you reside?
So I'm in LA.
And for those of you that are in different, so when people think of, if I were to just say you're from California or that you live in California, they would think LA, San Francisco, maybe Sacramento, and that'd probably be it. So tell us about LA.
So anyone ever heard of the Kardashians? They live in Calabasas. I'm about 10 minutes east of them. So I'm in the northwest part of LA.
So what you're saying is you're like the Kim Kardashian of the breath world.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see on Instagram, I go by the Breathwork Boss, and that's kind of my thing. So yeah, and I'm a stress coach too, but breathwork's kind of my favorite modality. And yeah,
And if I recall your origin story, you were like a teacher before all this, right?
Yes, I was a teacher for almost 19 years. And anyone see a correlation between teaching at a high school, public school? I was taught Spanish. So it's a lot of perfectionism, a lot of people pleasing. And 2 years ago, quit my job and just went into breathwork and stress coaching.
So were you in California during teaching, or did you move there?
Yeah, I grew up there. I'm from there. Yeah.
And if you can't tell, so Jeannie got here at 2 o'clock to do our recording. I haven't had an in-person since late 2019. And so I was having cable issues. I never have to worry about like technology hiccups or anything like that. And my XLR cable for my recorder, if you're not technologically inclined, it's the thing that goes in the thing to make the recordings happen, just was not cooperating, and I was just getting a whole bunch of crackling. So essentially, I have to press a button every time that I talk, and then another button every time that Jeannie talks, and hopefully this isn't too obnoxious for my lovely guest today.
Oh, no, it's fine. This is my first in person, too, so here we go.
Okay, so so you do breathwork teaching online. Is there a website or something?
Yeah, my website, definitely. Do you want me to tell you now or link it? Yeah. So it's www.jeanniecolwin.com, JeannieKulwin.com. All my classes are there. You can find me on social media too. That's how we hooked up, through Facebook and Instagram at Jeannie Colwin Coaching.
So let's get into it. A lot of times I come across people in this world that do something. They're doing breathwork coaching, which I told you before we started airing, or before we started recording, that I'd been looking for a breath coach to come on here for probably a year and a half before I even found you. And then you were supposed to come up here, and then we were supposed to do the recording, and then COVID hits, and then we skip the whole thing. But a lot of people that I connect with on here are like sort of disciples. I don't know is the right word, but they come from a psychotherapy line of work, or they're doing somatic work, and you're doing breath work. And so maybe tell us how, I'm assuming it's an issue of pain or chronic illness or something that's in that. So that's what I'm very curious about, is how did that start, particular symptoms, things like that, chronic issues that you can point at where all this began before you even started doing the breath stuff, or the treatment. And then we'll kind of get into how you discovered mind body as being a potential cause.
Sure. Yeah. So at about 30 years old, I started having back problems, ankle issues, back problems enough where I'm not sleeping now, insomnia, anxiety, depression, lots of issues. Actually, no, it was before then. I started having ankle. Oh my gosh. I remember your origin story when I remember hearing all the points and you like listed them off and you told your whole story. And so, yeah, it kind of gets a little confusing. At age 26, I started having ankle issues and out of nowhere. And yeah, from age 26 till about age 40 of on and off flares, chronic pain. So ankle problems, not being able to walk, literally not being able to move forward. Back issues, like I said, insomnia. I was having chronic sinus infections, lots of mystery, everything. So I was like the mystery girl for so long. And when Anthony Williams with all his mystery illness, that seemed to kind of resonate with me. So, yeah, I mean, teaching was very, very stressful. And I think I was very naive about how much stress I was under as a school teacher. And, you know, I don't have kids, so I can't be stressed. And parents who are teaching full time and they have stress. So it was a lot of, I live in Los Angeles. There's a lot of great doctors, there's a lot of Western medicine options. And I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to get help on this journey, find the solution, you know, all the tests, all the everything. It's like a sigh of relief when you don't have the MS, you don't have the autoimmune per se, but then like this internal struggle came with me of what's wrong with me, this narrative of what's wrong with me, and I just felt so helpless, so powerless for many, many, many years.
It's interesting that you worded in that way, because I MS was something that I thought maybe was what was going on with me. And it's like, yeah, I don't have this, but, and it's almost like the but is actually worse. Did you, you know, the ankle thing is of particular, I don't even know if you remember, but the first thing I tried after the pandemic started was longboarding. And I was like 45 minutes into my longboarding career and I dislocated my ankle. I thought that I broke it, and it actually was the last day that any of the urgent care clinics around here were even going to be open for non-respiratory issues. So I went in and they took x-rays and said, it's not broken. It's just a really bad sprain. And I was like, I've dislocated my shoulder. I've broke my arm. I've broke fingers. I broke this ankle thing is the worst thing I've ever experienced. And several weeks went by and it's still just, I didn't have full mobility. It didn't feel right. I was kind of talking to Jim Prusak, who's down in San Diego. And he was like, it could be something, but it should, you know, if it's a mind body thing, it should be getting better. And I went and saw a physical therapist and she actually shook, because I had a huge bulge on the right side of my ankle, like where the ball is. It's called the lateral malleolus. But I had dislocated my fibula, which the doctor didn't catch. And as soon as the PT pushed it back into place, I was fine. So that was, but I know how much ankle issues suck. So did you have any sort of a, I mean, did you try and take up longboarding? Did you have any sort of a precipitating event?
I had a breakup, but wasn't in my everything. I minimized everything, right? Oh, we were only together 6 months. I had just bought my condo, but I didn't feel stressed. So there was nothing. And anytime anyone said it's stress related, I just minimized that. No, there was nothing that happened. There was no injury. There was nothing. And then the last 3 years of this 14-year kind of in and out battle, flare ups and stuff, I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia by like five doctors in LA. I went down that rabbit hole.
So the fiber diagnosis is interesting. I did not know that. I didn't think that's where this was going, but that's great, because I get messages. You know, people will, I get probably, I don't know, somewhere between 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 messages a week where somebody's like, obscure symptom, do you know somebody that has it, or what episode did you talk about it? And that's very tough at 200 episodes to remember certain things, but this is, since you're in my garage, I'll probably remember this one. So you're told that, and is it like dread? Is it relief because you have a answer, or what?
It was relief, and it felt like validation, because before I just felt like this emotional, yeah, what's wrong with me kind of thing, and there's nothing even wrong with me. Here's the thing. It goes from there's nothing wrong with me physically, so it must be all in my head, and then now I have this validation, and doctors are telling me that this is for me not to sleep is normal, for me to have anxiety is normal. Oh, well, she's got fibromyalgia, so now we can give her, I don't know, antidepressants. And it just seemed to validate it. But there's more of a slippery slide with that, right? Now I'm in this, oh, I'm not going to be strong kind of thing. Here's a story that I've told before, but I think it's pretty interesting. The seeing a rheumatologist, and I did not go on the antidepressants, but I did like all these neurostatin, I don't know, one of those pills for nerve pain. And So I'm a small frame girl, and he kind of looks at me and he's like, Jeannie, you're small. You have small muscles. You're just always going to be in pain because your muscles are small. So for someone to tell you that you're small and you have small muscles, that's why you're not strong. I mean, it's that kind of mentality with the Western doctors and stuff that just, and I believed it. Oh, so I'm smaller, so I can't be strong.
So we're in my garage gym right now, which I don't know if I've said, but something that's interesting is the Olympics just ended, and I was watching the women that would have been, it's on the metric scale, so they were approximately 90 to 95 pound females, and what they were lifting was more than what I do, as double their weight. So the misconception of size and strength and all that kind of stuff. And then on the flip side of that, sort of related, unrelated, like I was able to get a COVID vaccine before I should have, simply because I am defined as obese on the BMI scale, which, you know, you're standing right in front of me. That's probably not right. So Western medicine in general, there's a lot of issues and hangups like that.
Yeah, so I think my whole journey and what I'm all about and really now is just getting your power back, taking your power back. And there's so many people don't know about TMS and chronic pain and John Sarno, and I just want to like shout it out to everyone. And doesn't matter how long your story is, right? Like some people find Sarno 5 years in, 10, I mean, it took me 14 years, and I've helped so many people in this podcast, everything in the short amount of time. So let's just talk about it.
So, I don't know if it's an appropriate question to ask about age, but you brought it up. So so you said you were talking about 26, you were talking about 40. To be honest, you don't look 40. You look closer to 26 than to 40. So like what age were you when the fibromyalgia diagnosis was given? Like how long ago are we talking about? What approximately, what year?
Yeah, so I'm 43 now. So it was 26 to like, so like 30. So yeah, 37 years old. So like 11 years in.
Okay. So that would have been, God, what year are we talking about? So
7 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Math. 2014. No, that's easy. My Zoe, my oldest daughter, she's seven, was born in 2014. Okay. So that's kind of wild. So you're on this fibromyalgia path, which it probably doesn't feel that way now, but it almost in a way is a blessing because I was given a prescription for antidepressants as well, which should have tipped me off. It did not. I was just like, oh, so you're saying I'm depressed? I don't feel depressed. You know, that was kind of the stance that I really took. How did you get from there to like, where did the mind body path begin?
Yeah, that's a great question. The mind body path began when I started seeing a anxiety coach. And then I think one of our first sessions, she had told me to buy a John Sarno book, bought the book. I still have only read a little bit of the book. Yeah. And then I heard another podcast with Steve Ovanovich. Am I saying his? Ozanich. Great Pain Deception, which is like my Bible. And I know that Sarno stuff is in there, but for some reason I didn't resonate with the John Sarno book. And then I really, I mean, I remember crying reading that book, being so validated. And yeah, I mean, it's just take your power back.
Have you ever talked to him?
No.
Steve? So he was the 14th interview I did, and the amount of generosity that that guy has with his time is really pretty amazing. So you didn't finish your Sarno book, but you did read The Great Pain Deception coast to coast, like border to border?
Oh, yeah, whole thing. It's earmarked. I won't even let anyone borrow that book.
It's funny. I was just thinking about the cover this morning. So I don't know if I want to call it a trend. I don't know enough about like ADHD or ADD or anything like that to say that it is or it is not, but if I had the cover, I feel like that Ozanich may have put like ADHD and ADD on the cover of the book. I don't remember if he specifically talks about that, but being a big fan of like TikTok and social media in general, ADHD is talked about a lot right now. It's sort of like, to me, is kind of like the new up and comer of the Vogue, right? Maybe what ulcers were in 1978 and then they got super hot in the 80s and now like we don't really hear about them at all. So maybe that's kind of the new thing. So what was it about The Great Pain Deception that really caught your eyes and ears and attention the most?
I think when they talked about the traits of TMSers, the perfectionism and the people pleasing and reading even the cover of that book, there's a lot of the symptoms that I've suffered from that were on there. And what I had been doing up until then, I mean, for many, many years, because I live in LA and it's kind of new agey, right? A lot of alternative medicine. So I was spending tons of time, money, and energy, which was so stressful. Acupuncturist, Chinese medicine, this medicine, getting IVs. I mean, I was getting IVs twice a week because I didn't want to do some of the harder drugs. So it was this just, so I think reading that book and just the more you're doing, right, and believing that it's physical and the more you're pushing, it just really resonated because I was exhausted mentally, physically, and emotionally. And just to know that there's other people that have healed, I think that's a huge message of what we're trying to do, is that people can heal from this and it's quick and there's different ways to do it and there's not one right way.
Yeah, so that was going to be the next thing I was going to bring up, is that Ozanich is very big on, like, the work is not doing any work. Like, that's, I don't know if he's ever said that phrase, but that's really the gist that I got from reading his book. I didn't walk away with any, here's what you do. I didn't walk away with a blueprint. I didn't walk away with it in any way. So I guess how long after the book before you started seeing a, let's just say, like, dramatic reduction in symptoms? And what did you walk away with as a, technique's not the right word because that's not what he's about. But how did you know, like, what to do or what path to take after you had understood the book?
Yeah, I did work with a mind-body coach a little bit just to kind of affirm some of the things. It's almost like we need validation, right? This is what I'm thinking. This is the information I'm getting, but just want to make sure I'm going down the right path. But I did really heal quickly and I did kind of accept. I think the good thing is that I was so open and ready to accept TMS 100%. So I healed very, very quickly.
Do you have any sort of like a nickname for you? So let me give you an example. So my reference when I'm, if my back tightens up or my neck tightens up or any symptom, my knee hurts or whatever the case is, I'll say, this is a bunch of bullshit. That's literally what I call it.
Oh yeah, shout out to Scotty who helped me, and we had been talking about this, and TMS, we just say it's too much stress. So anytime I have symptoms, so I'll get little symptoms, I'm like, oh, just too much stress. And it's just the phrase, it's just TMS, has been so helpful for me because the fear, I mean, it's like a skill, right? Or a pattern or a habit. So the more we just, oh, relax the body and like, oh, that's just TMS. It's been really, really helpful. And things that, oh my gosh, I think about during the pandemic how I was running around pre-pandemic or even before this started. And I mean, 5 days a week. So I'd have, I don't know, five appointments or four doctor's appointments or between all the healing appointments that I had. And then I'm thinking in the pandemic, I got, I don't want to say lucky, but like I haven't had to, I can't even imagine where my life would be if I had to, how do you survive in the pandemic when you're not going out to get all the help, right? Like I could just do it myself. So, yeah.
If I didn't already tell the story earlier, I had mentioned that we were scheduled to do this beforehand. And when you came in, you had talked about sending me that message that basically, I can't remember, did you actually make it up here or that was entirely canceled too?
Yeah, I did not even make it up here. And I remember being a little bit, oh, Eddie, you don't want to, it's the fear. I'm not coming. There's like this little thing called COVID. Have you heard of it? Yeah. And I don't want to not come up there because of the fear. And right, we don't want to let the fear stop us, but it obviously turned out to be a pretty big reason not to come.
Like I'd said, prior to all of this, I was out in the field. I was meeting with my clients and everything like that. And now you see me. This is my normal attire. I'm in workout shorts. I'm wearing dad shoes, which are Crocs. And I'm sitting in my garage. And this is what I've been reduced to during the pandemic. I used to work out at a gym with people. And now I'm in the garage by myself. But it's working out just fine. So everything completely upended. But I do thank you for coming today. So I want to get it. How did you get from... Well, first of all, so an anxiety coach had told you about Sarno, read this book.
She said, read this book. I think it might help you. Okay. I don't know. I think it was just very technical maybe for me. Yeah, but that was it. And then working on reducing the stress. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. So then you got to Ozanich's book, and actually his was the first one where I saw any sort of, might even be the only one still, where I saw a mention of breath work, because he talks about Andrew Weil, the whatever his name is, but he's an MD, internal medicine, something like that. And he talks about breath work, and it's kind of, if you type his name on Amazon, that's all that comes up. So how did you get eventually to breath work?
Yeah, so breathwork kind of came into my life right around the same time where I started wanting to take my power back, which obviously isn't a coincidence. And breathwork, just to me, and even why, because I know a lot of the TMS, and we'll talk about it, right? It's, I'm not doing breathwork to get rid of my chronic pain. I'm doing breathwork, and we'll get into like what it is and what it isn't, really is to release trauma, to feel my emotions, to have this safe space to like process so many things. So breathwork kind of came into my life. Like I said, LA is kind of trendy and people in Santa Monica were doing it, got invited to a class, started really liking it. And I think for me, when it's, in my opinion, there was so much shame with being sick for so long, not knowing what was wrong with me, judging myself for all the emotions that came up, all, and that was a big part of it, is I didn't feel my emotions. I was pushing them down, as we know. So breathwork was this very beautiful way for me to access my emotions and hold space for myself, which I really wasn't able to do. I could go see, this was interesting, I could go see a therapist, and or if I talked to a family member who I felt safe with, and I could cry. So I always thought, oh, I'm really able to communicate and I've got this emotional intelligence, so to speak. But if I'm in pain or with suffering by myself, I just pushed it down. I just stuffed it. So breathwork was a way for me to release a lot of this trauma. And I feel like there was a lot of trauma. I mean, all these years, 14 years of just feeling not good enough, not worthy. It's interesting. I'm sure you've heard this before too, right? On the outside, you look normal. Things look healthy and fine, and they're not. You're like, the insides are screaming and you're not happy, and you're putting on the happy face. And as a teacher, it's this, again, being perfect, putting on a happy face of not letting the pain stop me, like pretending. It's like this mask, right? So being able to kind of take off the mask. But yeah, so got into breathwork just organically, and then saw the tie-in with, oh, stress, and oh, this is a way for me to heal on a really deep level.
I love that you had said we're going to talk about what it is and what it is not. So by all means, because the only kind of exposure that I have to breath work is when I was recovering from shoulder surgery and I was working with a PT, and he threw breath work in there, meaning just 5 minutes of diaphragmatic breathing every day. So that was kind of and then we sort of got close to it as a way to reduce to turn on basically parasympathetic nervous system, because when I had gone back and I was in the midst of so many things hurting all the time, and he had recommended integrating that and doing a few minutes of that per day. So that's my exposure to breath work. So is that what it is, or is that what it is not?
That's a good question. I'll tell you what it is, and then we'll just talk about it. So breath work is actually just an active meditation, but a lot of people aren't meditating nowadays. And it's really, I always say it's a radical act to do nothing else, right? So when you are doing breathwork, you cannot multitask. You're not checking your phone. You're not doing laundry. Like, this is what you're doing. And that alone, for many of us, to take the time for the self-care and the self-love, really is a radical act. So basically, it's just a three-part breath. Sometimes when we meditate, we're not changing the pattern of the breath, right? We're just noticing. And there are different meditation techniques. So with breath work, it's a three-part breath, like two inhales, one exhale, the way that I teach. So some people might have heard Wim Hof. I mean, he's a different type of breath work, right? So this is very safe. You're lying down on your back. You could be on a yoga mat or, you know, in your sofa. That's it. It's a three-part breath. It's two inhales and an exhale. Now what you get if you do a class or doing a lot of the breath work that we're talking about is that you're getting really fun music. So the music that you would like, that's fun. And I mean, everyone's got a different style, right? Just like yoga. So my style, I like to really motivate. I like to kind of turn it on. So I love Tony Robbins. You'll hear some things that are coming through him, through me, to you guys. And yeah, it's really a way to release, to process, to let go. There's a lot of metaphors. I have different themes in my classes, but I think a lot of our emotions, a lot of the trauma is in the body. And I just want to talk about the somatic work when we get there, because this is the somatic practice. You can't think your feelings. You can't, right? A lot of times we're in therapy and we talk our feelings and we identify and we label, but we haven't moved forward. For my case, 100%, I would go to therapy and I would just victim mode. And I'd leave the front door, Eddie. I'd leave the office. I don't have any tools. I don't know. And like, I had a nice little cry session, or I processed some things maybe by talking about it, but I didn't have anywhere to go moving forward. Like, okay, what am I doing now for the next week until I see you? I have nothing, right? So really, it's a way to start to heal. And that's what we're talking about. We're healing it, like, at a deep level. So if you think about acupuncture, you think about the chi in the body, right? Like, we're moving it. So by and I didn't know how to breathe, by the way, before learning breath work. So when you talked about diaphragmatic breathing, that is using the belly. And I just thought, oh, you want more oxygen, you just breathe deeper into the chest. So that was huge for me. So it's a diaphragmatic breathing. And wow, right? Like, people's diaphragms, Eddie, don't even move because there's so much trauma and stuck emotions. So literally, people have sometimes, in the diaphragm's a muscle, so we can work on, you know, getting it stronger. But so there's a lot of trauma that happens and a lot of emotions, especially with women too, and like the pelvis area, that the diaphragm doesn't move. It gets stuck. So anyway, we're actually moving the stuck trauma. That book, you know, Body Keeps the Score, it's in the body. There's more and more. I just get so excited about this because there's more and more research about it's in the body. And it's like the body first. Let's pay attention to the body and heal it out through the body and do some of these somatic practices instead of just talking about it, labeling it, and getting looped in the victimhood, I think.
So the therapy sessions became 60-minute bitch sessions, basically, which I totally hear you. And that's why I think that therapy can be really effective, but it can also almost just be another way to repress or suppress, because there's not really anything happening. In fact, like, doing 5 minutes of a somatic experience exercise for me does way more than, let's even just say, 6 months of talk therapy. Just because it's, and I don't know physiologically what's happening, but I know that it turns the volume way down, which is ultimately what I'm seeking. Something that, you know, so the diaphragm being a muscle, I'm a weightlifter. Something that I've always struggled with in weightlifting was like proper bracing techniques, even just being able to feel like intercostals are actually moving and doing the things that they need to do. Like, does stuff like that, like, perform, like, do you get into, because I know there's like, you know, there's people that work with like sports teams or athletes that specialize in this stuff. Is that any of the stuff that you do, or is it exclusive to the work that like this podcast is about, or mind body illness or things like that?
Oh, I just want to backtrack too and just say, of course, there's amazing therapists out there. I just wanted to bring that back to it. But to go back to your point. Yeah, I mean, I work with different types of clients. I've worked with like professional singers who weren't hiring me to. It's just that we all have emotions. We all have trauma. We all have things to heal. So I haven't specifically, I think it's not only the TMS community that I work with, but then it's interesting. Some of my clients don't realize they have TMS until they're working with me. So yeah, it's not specific to a certain type, but I think, I mean, we're talking about peak performance and, you know, sports and visualization and all those things. And we're just, like you said, we're getting into the parasympathetic nervous system. I mean, all the benefits of meditation. So I say that, you know, breath work, it's like really this deep dive and over oxygenating the body. I mean, so many of the benefits of the physical benefits of, you know, releasing toxins from the body. It's like a mental, physical, and emotional detox of the body. So like literally we are detoxing the body from getting all the oxygen in. Emotions are coming to be processed and healed. And like mentally, it's like pushing through some of this resistance, right? It's like getting on the other side of your comfort zone, doing something that's scary. It's the resistance. I always say in classes, how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? So if there's resistance to like lie down and do some of this somatic practice, sure. And where else in your life are you not really being there for yourself and doing this work? So, yeah.
Talk about somatic and breathing and where those two things tie in. Because I'd always thought of those things as a separate thing. How do they blend?
Yeah, so somatic practice, like being in our body, right? So I don't think there is like the better somatic practice or one is better. I just think, which one are you going to do, right? So I think sometimes the resistance to meditation is it's going to be quiet or things like that. So with breath work, when you're in a class that's facilitated, you're having someone like guide you through it and there is some guidance with it. So, I mean, there is yoga that's helpful for trauma. I mean, shaking is really big now, right? Of just like releasing trauma. So it's the one that you're going to do. I mean, shaking usually is like 3 to 5 minutes tops or something like that. So that can be really good, you know, dance. But I think there's still going to be some emerging data and exercises that are coming out, you know, in the future of some of these embodiment practices.
How do you inhale twice before you exhale twice? Yes, explain that to me. Okay. Or show.
I'll explain to you guys. Okay, so if you want to put a hand on your belly, you can put a hand on your chest. Okay, so inhale and then expand the belly, like pooch it out. And take a little inhale into the chest because that's the only other place to go. And then the mouth is open and you exhale. So inhale. Okay, so inhale and make sure the belly goes out. Inhale in the chest. And then exhale. Good. So keep going. Inhale, inhale, exhale. Yeah. And the way that we do it, it's circular and it's not stopping. It's continued breath. It's a cycle. So here's the funny part. It's called breath work, right? It's in the title. So people always say, wow, this was, oh, wow, this is kind of, wow, work. I go, it's in the title. It's in the title. It is actually a practice that can be more involved. You can get tired, right? A little bit, depending on your fitness and things. But yeah, it's, and everyone always thinks they're doing it incorrectly at the beginning. So it's such a beautiful metaphor of everything, of this is inner work. There is no perfection with inner work. Everyone does it differently. Everyone has their own breath patterns, their own rhythm. And the whole comparing of how is this person doing it, it really gets to be your own inner work.
So just so we're clear, so it's belly breathing is inhale one, shallow chest breath is number two, and then exhale is through the mouth. I got that.
Yeah, through the mouth. You know, Wim Hof, he's like, I don't care, just breathe, right? So the way I teach breath work, it's we're getting more oxygen if we have our mouth open. That's basically how it is. And just something, because people get scared that we're going to hyperventilate. No, because you're getting in a ton of oxygen and hyperventilation is not getting enough.
So interesting. So the nasal breathing is always what I've associated with breath work. So you're saying that's a fallacy, at least the way that I've understood it.
Well, nasal breathing is how you want to breathe 98% of everything. But just during breath work, we want more oxygen in the body.
Is there like a prescription? Maybe that's not the right word. But like when you work with people or they go through a workshop or, and I kind of want to get into what, how you actually work with people, but is there like a daily, like a, you know, cause one of the things that I think, people become very resistant to on like TMS work in general is like in, so, Nicole Sachs has talked about this on my podcast before that, like Sarno's original prescription, which I think was in the book Before Healing Back Pain that nobody talks about. I think he had said like, it might have been like 30 minutes or 45 minutes of journaling in the morning and then 60 minutes of journaling in the evening every single day. That's a lot. That's a big ask. That's really hard for people to be able to grasp onto. When I've talked about the somatic stuff that I do, it's like 3 to 5 minutes, 2 to 5 minutes, 2 to 4 minutes, like because I am exhausted at the end of it. So what's like a general prescription that you, you know, when you go through working with somebody for a certain amount of time and then their kind of maintenance plan, if you will, you know, does that exist? And if so, for, you know, how long, what kind of a commitment are they talking about?
Yeah, I think the beautiful thing about this is you get to customize it what works for you. I tend to do breath work a lot of times when I'm feeling like I need to move some emotions. I'm feeling some emotions. So there'll be months where I'm doing a lot of breath work and then maybe things are going really well and I'm not doing it as much. I mean, everyone's different and depending on their time and their lifestyle. But I've been told, and my mentor would say, start with 10 minutes, maybe 3 times a week, do it 1 time a week. Really, there's so many benefits of it and people really feel amazing after. And then sometimes there is resistance because if you are having a great day, you're like, I don't want to process emotions and feel what I'm feeling, right? But then what's happened with me is I've gotten so much better at noticing and not noticing, feeling the emotions in my body, right? So it's a constant kind of, it's not like, I'm going to feel my emotions. It's this constant practice that I'm in. It's just who I am now. It's this awareness, this self-awareness that I didn't have before. And if you go into and see what we're really trying to heal here, I mean, there's so many addictions in this country and all over the world because we're unable or unwilling or don't want to feel our emotions, right? So when we're talking about food addiction, drinking, drugs, you know, working too hard, all of these things get back to discomfort with feeling our emotions and not wanting to get out of our comfort zone. So when we bring that all back and I look at, hey, I've been eating too many sweets today or really being clear on, oh yeah, I got to go back to the body and be in my body. So I think everyone's different. That's why sometimes having a class is really great, because you know you have, okay, Sunday morning, that's what we're doing. If there's resistance, well, I already paid or I already signed up. But yeah, it could be 10 minutes. I would say a minimum of 10 minutes, but it doesn't have to be a whole class. And that's what I would start with.
So you read the Ozanich book and you had pretty great results with, I'm assuming, like the back and the ankle stuff, the stuff that seems kind of obvious to people that are listening to this. Once you started doing breath work, both as somebody that's just a participant, but then also somebody that's a teacher, are there other symptoms or issues or things that have gone away since you've become more involved in breath stuff versus just like straight up TMS or Ozanich stuff?
Yeah, well, I was getting chronic, what is that called? Sinus infections. Yeah, I was getting those. Is it TMS? Is it not? Yeah, because I was getting them with extreme emotional stuff I was going through. So I haven't had that in a long time. Lots of anxiety in general, insomnia for sure. And just, I mean, there's definitely feels like there's always was something. I mean, I was having, you know, when I look back, I was having tummy problems. I went through all of the going to the doctor and getting the scope put down my stomach and not finding any problems with the stomach and all these different, it just seems exhaustive. It's great that I'm having a hard time remembering, but it was one of those like one thing after another. And this trip actually, because when I was thinking about this podcast with you, the last time I was in Seattle, I remember how stressful packing for this trip was, because I had so many supplements that I was taking as like a way to prevent, right? And then all the fear. So in addition, like all the fear, so then all the supplements to avoid it, and then all the fear with food too. So I can't eat any inflammatory foods, and I have to be perfect with my food, because if I'm not, I'm going to get a flare-up, right? And then the flare-up's going to cause the physical pain. It's going to lead to the anxiety, the insomnia, all those kind of things. So, I mean, I talk about this with my dad. I was wearing orthotics for many, many years, like trauma, Eddie, to get out of the orthotics, because those were going to protect me from not having ankle pain and being dependent on those. Yeah. And like I had huge fear with so many things of living my life. Traveling was super stressful. Yeah, I mean, my life now compared to what it was in terms of just living more, and I've talked about this with other, like, I think it's so important. We all have to, if you're going through this or if you're on the recovery end of it, we need to have other people, friends that are TMSers, just to kind of, it's helpful just because we can kind of get triggered sometimes, right? Or this is what I used to do, or this kind of flared up, or this is, yeah. And then it's just so interesting how far I've come, because this right now, me living my life traveling, well, I've started traveling with this trip, but I was so scared because what if? And so then packing is all the things that could happen and all these different symptoms. So
it's interesting that you say it in that way, having like people that you can lean on or rely on that hopefully have gone through that, like the entire process of it, but even just being like knowledgeable on it. I've told this story before, but a few months ago, it might've been like January or something, I was having a lot of like COVID like symptoms and I was kind of starting to freak out and couldn't get in to get a test done. It was going to be like a couple of days before I could do that. My wife had finally said like, what if this is like, you know, just the same as the back stuff? Like what if this is just a TMS thing? And I was like, huh. And it was gone that night. All those symptoms were gone that night. And it was literally just like one just sort of haphazard sentence. And that was it.
Yeah, really. It's the fear, right? It's the fear of all these things that we've been struggling with.
So talk about what you do now. You've talked about classes. I'm assuming there's like one-on-one. Like what's kind of the way that you're serving the community with this kind of stuff? And take us through like what do those sessions look like and that kind of thing.
Awesome. So I definitely do the breath work. That's where most people find me, in a class. And I think I don't know if everyone else is sick of Zoom meetings and all that stuff, but people are so, because I'll do corporate breath work also. And then people come to my classes that I do, you know, for my community. And they're like, oh my gosh, people have their cameras on. And it's like this beautiful community of people all over the world. And then, yes, I do one-on-one sessions. I was doing those in person. And then I do stress coaching one-on-one. So that would be working with someone who maybe isn't realizing how much the stress is affecting. So sometimes the stress is affecting in terms of eating, and we've got emotional eating and stress eating and comfort eating with COVID. And you know what? When we're so busy, we don't even know what we want. We don't even know like where we are. We're just in survival mode. And so being in survival mode, we're staying in that job that maybe we're not aligned with anymore. So I talk a lot about how I was terrified to leave my job, because think about it. When you've had health issues for over a decade, you know, a decade and a half, and you have health insurance and you have tenure and you have all these things, and I'm single, so it was like terrified to do this all on my own. So I can relate. A lot of people find me who are like, I kind of want to leave my job. I'm scared. I don't know. It's the fear. It's the like, I'm going to hear no a lot on this journey. So I work with moms and a lot of women. We give a lot, and then we kind of ignore what we want in our own self-care and our fun. During COVID, it's been hard to have fun, and how do we have fun and not get burned out and all the demands on us? So yeah, definitely with COVID, it's been an interesting shift too of working with these things. And then a lot of like, I'll get new entrepreneurs who work with me too, which is great, because I had this huge imposter syndrome, if anyone else can relate, because I was a teacher. I don't come from a corporate background. So to go into sales and marketing, and it wasn't in my skill set yet. So yeah, I work with people. I was terrified to be on social media because I was in a classroom all day. So I help people too who are transitioning, who are like, okay, you were terrified, you were honest about leaving your job. I see myself in you, and we got to do this. So coaching is really about taking action. But I kind of say with breath work and with the coaching I do, it's kind of in between, you know, Brene Brown and Tony Robbins, because I'm going to push you and there is action. We're not just talking. Like a lot of the typical talk therapy you were talking about is just talking about it, right? We can get in the I labeled what happened to me. I identified with it, but we're not taking action. So it really is action-based. So it's quick. Mm-hmm. So typically it's 3 months. It's typically every week on Zoom. And then breath work is part of my program, of course, because it's really this somatic practice to help people. So yeah, so people shift. I've helped women who are, you know, scared to get divorced, right? Because it's easier to stay in some of these comfortable situations, but they're not what our heart is craving. So when we're in our head all day, when we're in survival mode, we don't hear our heart. So breath work is beautiful. Coaching I do is beautiful to get into your heart, to get into your intuition of what you want to do without the logic and the how am I going to do it. So yeah, I think it's a lot of people who are like, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm called to do. It's intuition, but society, or this is what we're supposed to, right? That should word, right? What we're supposed to be doing, what we should be doing, because it's logical, or it's like the money, or all these things. So
do you have like a favorite, because I don't want you to divulge names or anything like that, it's not what I'm asking, but like stories of people that you've worked with, things that have changed? And I'm talking about like more so because this is the Mind and Fitness podcast, so like pain, illness, symptoms, those kind of things, like any kind of a story that you can tell us with anonymizing the name.
Sure. Yeah. A couple stories that I've worked with, and this is what I'm saying about it. Never gets boring hearing about people's wins, right? So one of my dear friends, and I was coaching her, and she was dealing with chronic migraines her whole life, right? Where she's getting Botox and I think lithium, like hardcore, like narcotics, and to see her and to talk to her going from like living her life in a certain way, because your whole life revolves around not getting a flare up and not eating certain foods and not drinking and all the triggers, right? It's like we live our whole lives like being out of the triggers, and we just call each other and just are so lit up from, oh my God, I'm doing more today than I normally would, right? Like I couldn't work too many hours, or I couldn't do too many things. I can't. And we would talk about she couldn't make too many plans in the day, because if you get a flare, then how you're letting people down all the time, right? So chronic, severe migraine. She makes this joke, which is I love to tell. She goes, I feel kind of badly, you know, on Facebook when it's your birthday, like donate to a nonprofit. And she'll say, I kind of feel badly because I was telling people to donate to like the American Migraine Association or something, right? And now we realize, okay, it was TMS. I had another client overseas, and when I first met her, she wasn't able to do any standing or any physical activity for over 2 minutes. So 2 minutes, that was it. And now she is running, she's swimming, she's super active. She was walking kind of with a hunch, and it's, you know, it's, we've got egos, of course. We don't want people to see us, but Yeah, so now her it's just amazing. Like her physical fitness and what she's able to do and like the confidence. And now she wants to be a mind body coach also, and she's working on that. So yeah, that was amazing.
So is it, I mean, in your opinion, and maybe there's multiple answers to this question, but like particularly the second one where you're talking about, you know, kind of hunched over or just sort of the way that they look or the way they carry themselves or whatever the case may be, is it, because I'm thinking like physiologically, I'm curious about what is going on with the breath stuff. Because earlier you talked about the diaphragm as a muscle, it's getting stronger, right? There's probably not a lot of movement. You have a lot of stickiness kind of on the inside. Sort of, you can't see what I'm doing, but you can see what I'm doing in that torso area. Is it that's getting stronger, or is it like what's the, like physiologically, what is going on with people when they start going through and doing this process with you?
Yeah, so for the first one with the migraine, she didn't know about John Sarno and TMS, right? So it's blowing people's mind about what is possible. And I think when you can speak and show from your example, right, you're like, well, I did it and you can do this and it's possible. And now I think that was different. I think people come to me sometimes with they know that they have TMS, but then there's people who don't even know what TMS is. I just had a client and we were 9 sessions in and she talks to me about her hip pain and she's got knee pain that she's never mentioned to me. And it's like, oh my gosh, here we go. Like, you ready for that? Oh, by the way, you didn't know I do this? Here we go, right? So I definitely, as I'm working with people, we uncover things and it's blowing their mind with John Sarno's work and what's possible in the mind body. And it's not physical, right? And sometimes people are open, they have an open mind and they're willing to really dive into this work. And I think, yeah, a lot of this is the mindset change of putting yourself first, of knowing it's possible, of taking like your power back. It's like the push of women a lot of times, right? Of like, we have to like hustle for our worthiness. And so a lot of my clients, sometimes they're working too much. The working is just like putting the body in this fight or flight state, and working with clients of the feminine and the masculine energy, and our worthiness isn't by hustling. It just, all of it kind of comes together. And yeah, so good question. I think most of the clients I work with now, a lot of them are coming to me with stress, and then we uncover the physical things. And I think there's like this big light bulb of, wait, what? We can heal this? And yeah, I think it's really fun.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't have tied, you know, 5 years ago or even like 4 years ago, I wouldn't have necessarily tied in or tied together my knee issues happening quarterly with the constant like stress and anxiety I had around like sales, as an example, which is still what I'm doing to this day. It's funny because a lot of times I think about, gotta be awesome to be a teacher. Meanwhile, you as a teacher probably were often thinking, maybe it'd be cool to do something else. So both my parents are teachers, or were. My mom submitted her resignation 3 years early because I think COVID just kind of broke her. Teaching physics online to high school students sounds pretty damn hard on Zoom to do. And so she submitted it 2 or 3 years early. Do you miss the teaching life?
That's interesting. You know, I'm just thinking about my client because I told her that kids went back to school this week and she goes, huh, I can hear that in your voice. You know, I didn't sign up for being in my house all day by myself, right? Because when I first transitioned into coaching, I was doing things in person and working with clients one-on-one. So I miss the community aspect. I just started doing breath work back in person in Los Angeles recently. So I miss the like camaraderie of it and helping people. But I think it was just like a really easy, seamless transition, right? Like I can teach. I mean, I might not know, right? Like as a new business owner, as a new entrepreneur, like I don't have all the experience yet in sales and marketing, but I can teach and I can relate and I can use my big empath heart to share what I've been through. So I miss being with other people, and the couple classes that I did have so far was amazing.
Here's the thing about teaching and why it is sales and marketing. And I bet that a lot of teachers probably don't even know that they're way better sales and marketing people than a lot of sales and marketing people are, because when you're teaching, ultimately you're marketing a subject, right? If you're teaching, let's just say social, or let's Spanish is a great example. you're marketing Spanish as a topic that people should take, right? Because they can take French, they can take, I took ASL, so right, they can really do whatever it is that they want. So you're marketing that this is the thing to do, but then selling it to them, like getting kids to come into a classroom and actually give a shit about something. Like, I'm sure that, you know, you were a teacher for 15 years, my mom's been a teacher for 30, like I know teachers that have taught for a long time, and I'm sure that all of you have stories of kids that came in unengaged and then left being very engaged. Something about you or something about something that happened in their life or the whatever sort of messaging it was that you gave them. Like, I remember I didn't give a shit about U.S. history. And then this one teacher of mine, Mr. McGuire, did a unit on the Civil War, and I was all in. Like, for some reason, the way that he talked about it and the different characters that were around during the Civil War and those kind of things, like, I really got into it. I found myself late at night watching like YouTube videos or looking at Wikipedia pages or whatever about what Burnside and Booker T and like all these different people that were around in that period of time. And so, I think you probably were much better and are much better at sales and marketing than maybe you would think, despite having like a teaching background, which again, to me, is all sales and marketing.
Yeah, no, that's what I've heard. And, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, teaching, I really enjoy. And that's what, you know, part of coaching is teaching too. And but now I get to be really passionate about it and love talking about it. And I actually did do a few breathwork classes in Spanish, and that'll be, somehow I'm manifesting that too. I work with a lot of people with manifestation. I'm like, somehow I'm going to be manifesting that and doing retreats and spreading all of this John Sarno and everything in Spanish. So that's all going to come too.
Nicole Sachs just finished. She does a week of teaching at Omega in New York. And there's always specialists that teach little segments throughout. I just feel like that would be an amazing addition for 2022, as you doing something like that with her. I don't know if you've ever talked to her. I don't even know if you're familiar with her, but I see it fitting in perfectly.
Yeah, I saw that she was doing that. I'm super excited. That would be awesome.
So we have a few minutes. It's funny. I promised myself last week that my podcast would no longer run longer than 40 minutes. And here we are 53 minutes in. How do we want to close? What do you want to talk about to close? What is on your mind you haven't been able to say, or things that are coming across your mind that you haven't thought about or brought up, or things we haven't touched on that are, you know, relevant here or would be helpful for the audience?
Yeah, I think maybe just to kind of reiterate that what we're talking about here with my love of breath work is great for anybody, because we're human beings. We all have emotions. You know, people who say, oh, I don't do emotions, right? They're talking now like the body is the subconscious mind. So just really to reiterate that, I would kind of just to drive down the point that it's not through breath work we're going to like change your life through the TMS, but we're going to change your life through breath work in every other aspect. And I have heard so many people tell me at the end of breath work, my headache's gone, this pain is gone. So basically you're bringing tons of oxygen to that region because you're taking in these breaths. So it is super possible. I've heard it all the time. But I think this is like another tool for your toolbox. And if it interests you to have a TMS approach to the breath work, which I haven't seen anyone else doing up until now, which I think is great. And I just have so much passion about it. I'm so grateful to get to talk to you about it. And just again, to bring hope, and things kind of occur like they're meant to be. Like, I never thought ahead of time, okay, I'm going to do breath work. I'm going to tie that into I didn't even know I had TMS until like 2 years ago is really when everything changed for me. So I think when you just take that next first step, right, the next step, and just try it, like, it's an amazing practice. It will change your life. It can change your life. And if it doesn't, then it's not for you. But just having an open mind is really helpful.
So most likely there are somebody, or there are multiple people listening right now to this somewhere around Earth that are saying, gosh, I really resonate with what it is that she's saying. I've wanted to work with somebody that does breath work or can teach it or can talk about it. Or maybe I'm looking for a stress coach. Like, they want to work with you. Where do they find you?
Yeah, so we'll link everything up, but it's www.jeannycolwin.com. And we can link up, and I actually have a class coming up that I'd like to invite everyone to come to. So we'll put like the link on there. You can find me on Instagram too. I mean, I'm super open. You can DM me on Instagram or Facebook. And the next class I'm having is the 29th, which is Sunday, and it's 9:30 Pacific. All my classes have replays now. They're available for 3 days after. So I'm going to have a promo code. We're going to put Eddie, spell it correctly, as the promo code. And you can take the whole class for free because I just really want you to try it. Sometimes the first time there could be resistance. There might not be like your mind is blown the first time, but many people it is. So it's worth it to try. And that's what I would say is your next step is just get into my next class on the 29th and try it out. You can have your camera off if you don't want it on. I think it would be the great next step for you.
This is a side note, but okay, so you're on social. You do put out good content. I feel like... do you have a TikTok account? Like, is that a part of, do you have a TikTok account?
Have a TikTok account, but there's nothing post there. I don't have any posts or anything.
Okay. So I was just talking to a therapist friend of mine who like, she's very engaging. She's, when she speaks, like it's engaging, right? Like I can tell that you care about this kind of stuff. And I sent her over. There's a therapist that I follow on TikTok. And I was like, she's making this amazing content. And there's hundreds of thousands of people that follow her, and I'm reading the comments, and people just think that what she says is so relatable, and it's things that they never thought about and all this kind of stuff. And like, I'm telling you, I'm like deep in the algorithm on TikTok on this kind of stuff, and there's nobody that is talking about like any of this kind of, like, just give it some thought.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, Jeannie in a bottle. Thank you so much for coming to the, I apologize for all of the technical issues, but, you were a great sport about this and, welcome back to in-person podcast recordings, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Yay. The first of many to come. And the other thing I wanted to tell you too, cause I know we're just closing up, but I always say this is a great, great, great practice for men because, well, anyone who doesn't like to feel their emotions, but so some people who, like, I have clients and they're women, they're like, well, my husband doesn't want to talk to anyone, and like, we all have emotions, right? So if you're on the fence, if you're a man, you know a man, or you just are someone who doesn't like to talk about their feelings, right? Like, this is a practice, you guys, that has so many healing benefits. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to label it. You can just lie on the floor and breathe. So if that appeals to you.
I don't remember how it came up, but I was presenting to a CFO a couple of years ago for my software job. And I forgot, I said the word feelings, and he goes, I don't like talking about feelings. And I was like, I love talking about feelings. And he didn't buy anything for me, as you can imagine, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I've been working with corporations recently. I just did a class for Amazon last month. And yeah, it's just so cool because we're talking, mental health is pretty important right now, right? And mental health, there's so much burnout in the corporate world. So when we can bring mental wellness, and you don't have to, okay, everyone's got to talk to their therapist and talk about their emotions. It's like, no, hey, want to just lie on the floor and breathe? Okay, cool. You're going to process trauma. Okay, cool. Like, really, in this year and so much that we've been through, it's a lot. And I know a lot of people are working extra hard at home. So yeah, just something else to add to them. All the somatic, right? It's just the body. It's like the body. It's not going through the brain, going through the mind and all. Oh, let's talk about every negative belief you have and what are all your thoughts. Okay, cool. I mean, if you want to do that, or hey, why don't you just lie on the floor and breathe and actually like turn off the inner critic, turn off the ego, connect to your heart. Boom.
Do you have anything that, because again, like going, looking at my cat, you should look, just take a look at the cat. Just, she's so cute. laying in the sun. The class is at the end of the month. Is there anything like, right? Can people go to the website and see anything, view anything like on demand that kind of shows you in action like right now?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for saying this. So go to my website and I have a freebie on there for you guys. So I made a mini breathwork session on confidence and worthiness because I asked my audience like, hey, what do you guys want your topic to be? So if you go to my website, definitely, and you just put in your name and email and you'll get that right away. So link to that as well will be intro videos on exactly how to do the technique. So you're going to get like 3 videos just by putting in your name. So you're going to have an intro video with the technique and then all the contraindications, just like, you might feel a little bit lightheaded and, you know, just things to know. So yeah, you're going to get all that access right away. And then I have some videos on YouTube, but I have tons of resources on my Instagram and Facebook. And yeah, and you can always reach out with any questions too.
Janie, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's so great to be here. Thank you so much.